You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, it's hour number three. Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776 to be part of the conversation. There's a lot of things to get with you when it comes to, this is a busy time of year. They got the draft coming up in just over a week. It's a week from tomorrow, and there's still a lot of talk about quarterbacks at the very top and what the Giants could possibly do at six. Would they move up? Would they move back? What could they take at six? I've seen everything from, hey, the Giants could also take Joe Alt. They could take the top offensive lineman. Why not? Their offensive line needs help. They could take a quarterback. They would just take a wide receiver. There's so many things that has been discussed. And when you get that many varying opinions about what could be done and what you're hearing, that tells you to me that Joe Shane's doing a great job. Because that means the smokescreen is real. And that's a good thing. You don't want anybody to know what you're doing there, because the fourth pick and the sixth pick to me are two very pivotal picks in this draft. Four, because that's when the quarterback thing could stop. And six, because that's also now when the quarterback thing can go back into play. So it's also, they could use that pick for leverage. There's a lot going on here. So plenty more to talk about on that. And we'll tell you what two quarterbacks the Giants are bringing in this week right before the draft to get more evaluation on them. There's that. There's tonight's game between the Sixers and the Heat. It'll decide whoever wins that game tonight will be the seventh seed, and that's who the Knicks will face in the playoffs, which begin Saturday evening, 6 p.m. at Madison Square Garden. So we have so much to talk about. The Mets are playing right now. We'll keep you up on that. Hour number three, Bart and Han. So what's that mean, Bart?
It's the power hour. Power hour.
Anybody else feel like that was lacking today?
You trying to do me.
Anybody else feel like that? Like no CMOS? No CMOS today?
You didn't say it with the chest part.
Like there was no with your chest. That was with your, like, that was trachea.
I did Thomas.
You did a Tom where you bailed. Like, it's almost like you were Zion. You were going for 40 and 11, and then the hamstring popped, and you were done.
So, Alan?
Are you not feeling it? What was that Wednesday? Was it legs day for you today?
No, legs are still recovering. Boxing was yesterday. Today was upper body, chest.
Oh, are you kidding me? Upper body is the one day where you walk around flexing because you feel so good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm fine.
How are you not? How did I not get a powerful power hour?
The legs
from you?
Are still hurting.
I almost felt like not hitting the gong today. It was almost like, you know what? I'm not hitting the gong. I'm not gonna do it.
See, there you
go. I didn't think it was gong worthy.
That's because I got you. Because I got you with that one the other day, and that's why you tried to get back at me. And then yesterday we got Jake.
Hello, everybody. Yes.
Y'all want me to bring the energy?
Yeah.
There we go. All right. Number three on Bart. Bart
destroys it.
Oh man, I messed up.
You never admit that you messed up. You never stop. You just go through it. You never say, wait. Can I do it again?
That was
the second try too.
He gave up on it. Just absolutely gave up on it.
It's Bart and he forgot for sure. It's Bart and
he lost the words.
The tall guy.
So the Rangers know who they'll be facing in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It is the Washington Capitals. They won yesterday, although it was a wild one. But they win their game, so they are now going to face the Rangers. And that, you know what that means, of course, Bart? It's bad news for Detroit.
The Red Wings.
Yeah, the Red Wings.
The Red Wings are
the
down.
The Red Wings won't be hunting any wabbits.
We hurt our arm.
Eight straight years, no Red Wings in the playoffs.
Why do you keep putting numbers to it, man? Everybody out here.
What has happened
know the facts.
To Hockey Town? It's not even Hockey Town anymore. Come on, might as well. Seriously.
Hold up. We going to make our way back. Stop it. We had call to reshuffle. It, we call we it just jockey got reorganized.
Now. Maybe just it's horse racing. We'll certainly be winning hockey games.
We'll be back next year.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right.
If we came close this year, we're definitely going down next year.
Speaking of wait till next year, Aaron Rodgers is throwing passes to Garrett Wilson today at Florham Park, and everybody's all giddy about that. So pay no attention to what the man is saying on podcasts these days, but watch him throw footballs to Garrett Wilson. Please. Can we mute the podcast and just have video of him throwing footballs to Garrett Wilson? That's all I care about. On the Giants side of things, though, there's a lot going on here, Bart. And I'm wondering how you feel about the fact that it's being reported that the Giants, we still don't know what they're going to do at six because there's a million options for them. And one suggestion was they trade up to four and go get a quarterback. And that quarterback could be potentially J.J. McCarthy. But there's also talk of something that Mel Kiper Jr. has been discussing at length. Mel Kiper has a strong belief in what he thinks the Giants should do in the draft. And it also includes what they could do in the second round more than it does the first. Listen to this from the First Draft podcast.
The late first, our team's going to trade out of there. And that's what you want to do. You want to get into the late first, that fifth year option, right? So that's what you want to do. But will those teams want to get out of there? I couldn't reconcile that. So that's why I didn't have a move in there. Last year, Tennessee moved up to get Will Levis from 41 to 33. That's what we're seeing here maybe is this scenario. Bottom line is Bo Nix, the one thing underrated about him, field mobility and the legs and the athleticism. Yeah. He had 20 rushing touchdowns over his 2 years at Oregon. Yeah. He is a kid that Brian Daboll, hey, forget the Josh Allen comps, NA out there. But we talked about Drew Brees comps, right? Bottom line is the legs, the ability to beat a defense and frustrate a defense on third down, get that first down and get those rushing touchdowns and be that extension of that running game. He can do that. Bo Nix, I think, and Michael Penix Jr., both right now borderline first round draft choice. Right.
So those are guys that are on, you know, on the edge. And if the Giants can find a way to trade up, as he said before, in his last mock, he had the Giants taking, I believe, Malik Nabers at six and then using their draft capital because they don't have a high second round pick, but using draft capital to move up to the first pick of the second round. He has him taking Bo Nix with Penix as another option. He just takes Nix because Penix has the injury history that is a bit of a concern. But that's what he's got. So with that in mind, how about this? The reports are that Bo Nix will be going to East Rutherford this week for a workout. And also Spencer Rattler from South Carolina. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
He's also coming in as well for a visit. Interesting that it's those two guys and you don't hear about Penix's name at all. What do you think of that?
I'm going to get you off the scent because guess where Penix is at? Penix is in Washington.
That's right. I was going to mention.
So he's right down the street. So, like, you know what I'm saying? It's not like, hey, he ain't on radars. And here's the thing. I've been saying this for a minute. Right? I believe that if they don't believe, if they really want a quarterback and they're trying to find somebody, I think they should get it at 23. I think it's a lot easier to get it at 23. I think if you let Minnesota get up there to get J.J. McCarthy.
Right.
And then you move back to 11, you can get a guy like I said, Brian Thomas. If you believe like one of these guys, like after Nabers – if you feel like one of these guys just as good as Nabers, then you go grab him, and then now at 23, you probably can go address either the quarterback, or if it's another player there, if it's a lineman that falls, what if Olu Fashanu falls to 23?
Yeah.
A lot of people got him going to potentially, or the kid from Washington. You know, so you can get your tackle and you can get your quarterback. Like, I think if you're willing to move down and get another quarterback.
So you're looking for 11 and 23 would be the way you make that play, right? And then you let Minnesota get the quarterback they want because apparently they're high on McCarthy.
Who, Minnesota? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Right.
So give me 11 and 23, and then, you know, I got a two. I can mix that two with something next year to move up and get what I need to get anyway.
Yeah, well, again, as you mentioned.
Three picks. You can get two first-round draft picks and basically move back in and basically have three first-round draft picks like the Jets did when they got Jermaine Johnson, Sauce, and Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, it's a matter of getting, you know, the quantity.
Because they need a corner, too. So just,
in the second round. That can come in the second round too, right?
But let's just say if they believe that they can move back into the first round with that second round pick and give up something later, then let's just say they can go up. And let's say if it looks like a doomsday or somebody falls, or if not, Brian Thomas is right there.
Right.
Then you go down there and you get the cornerback, still the cornerback from Iowa.
There's like three corners in the first round, like in the teens, that are going to be there. Right.
Yeah. You still the cornerback from the Ravens, who are hoping that, you know, I think the Ravens are like in the 20s, thinking that the Ravens, that they can steal that and then go get their quarterback Penix or Bo Nix in the second round. That's a hell of a draft.
Or Rattler,
because they need a corner. Mm-hmm. I think they don't have to move up for Rattler. I think Penix.
Well, they want to look at
Bo
him
Nix.
Just to see, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
it's
I think
all just
Penix,
to see.
I don't think they have to move up from their second round draft pick to get Rattler. I think Rattler definitely be there. He's not going top 40.
As you mentioned too, because that's why, like, Penix is somebody that he could be on the radar. But why isn't he visiting the Giants? As you mentioned, he's one of four quarterbacks that the Commanders are hosting this week. As the, you know, the top 30 visits that they get to do this week, they are bringing in Drake May, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, and Penix. It's interesting. It's those three, right?
Right.
Like, and so that's who they're bringing in, and the Commanders have the third, the second pick in the draft, and it shows you too who's not on that list. Caleb Williams. They know he's going up number one. There's no reason to bring him in. So it continues to be the debate: is it Drake May or is it Jaden Daniels? That's the ongoing debate of which guy is the right guy to take at number two, and then the belief is whoever is not picked at two, that's who the Patriots are going to take at three.
I just think you have Cliff Kingsbury maybe making that decision.
Yeah, that's a good point too. He's there in Washington right now, so all the quarterback stuff that's going on here, and the Giants very much involved in it, and Bo Nix. As you heard the way Mel Kiper describes him, it does sound like a quarterback that fits the way Dable would want a quarterback, right? This is the mobility, the arm, all the different things that, you know, Josh Allen had that Dable was working with. Are they looking for that type of prototype? And does Bo Nix come close to being that? He's a good athlete. He comes from a very athletic family. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Pete in Staten Island. What's up, Pete?
What's up, bud? How are you?
Good, good. Yourself?
I cannot agree with Bart more. I've been saying this for weeks. The only problem you have with that is you got to be careful with the Chargers, because they'll have to give that number three pick, the third round pick, back to Minnesota, because the Chargers are willing to make that deal. But you could get a wide receiver, and you could get an offensive lineman, and you could get a quarterback. And the Giants, that'd be the best draft they ever had.
I don't even know if the Giants are looking for offensive line help. They've invested heavily. At some point, you hope that Evan Neal can figure it out. It's his third year. I mean, I think he's probably more of a left tackle, and that's probably part of the problem why he hasn't lived up to expectations, because he's trying to learn new footwork. But they went out and got Runyon, so they solidified the inside guards. You know, we like the center, so. I mean, I think really we're talking, you know, tight. They can go anywhere from tight end to Bowers, right? They can go Bowers if the Jets decide.
Bowers
to go
at 11.
Line. Yeah, if the Jets decide, hey, to go get a tackle, which they desperately need, mm-hmm. I can see them going to get Bowers to replace.
And you just tell Darren Waller to retire.
Darren Waller, hope he retires. Mm-hmm. And then, hell, I use that second round draft pick and ask the San Francisco 49ers if they want it and give me Brandon Ayuk. I'll take Bowers and Brandon Ayuk, and then still have the 23rd pick to go get something else, the corner.
Then you'd go quarterback or cornerback there?
I go
you
cornerback.
You still haven't solved your quarterback situation, though. So you wouldn't go quarterback in this draft, then, if you're doing that. I mean, I like it, but I'm just saying, like, so the quarterback thing goes off the table then, right?
Yeah, I mean,
how about this? If the Chargers take an offensive lineman instead of trading him with Minnesota, one of those wide receivers might be there
as
well.
That is correct. Yeah, that's correct. So, all right. So, Pete, if that's
right,
the case.
Because you know a wide receiver, you know an offensive lineman's going, and edge rusher's going after that.
That's right.
So you're gonna it might fall right into the Giants.
Does that change everything for you, Pete? Like, if you have the chance to get – if you're getting Neighbors – at six, are you still trading out, or are you making that pick?
I think you have to wait and see what the Chargers do. I think they have to call Minnesota, try to make a deal, but you can't pull the trigger because the Chargers could ruin the whole draft for them.
Well, the Chargers could make a trade themselves, and that changes everything too, right? Yeah, that's the thing.
Correct, but remember, Minnesota doesn't have a second round and a third round pick, so we would have to give them our third round pick.
Absolutely.
And make it more attractive for Minnesota to make the trade with us. And they're still going to get the person they want. Unless he's there for us and we draft him and then trade him. But that's a dangerous move, I believe.
That is, yeah. Thanks, Pete. I'm telling you, Bart, for Joe Shane, this is like, this will be a signature draft. Like, he has an opportunity to have a signature draft. Like Douglas had 2 years ago, right? Yeah. Where you come away with multiple players. The opportunity's there, but he'd have to be able to make a deal like Joe did to get yourself the multiple picks in and make it happen. It's not to say he's going to do it, because he might just take the best talent available, the best skill player available, which they desperately need on offense. They don't have enough skill talent on the offense. We know that. And the quarterback situation might not be answered early. And you could go with a Rattler just to have a young quarterback in play. You might go with him, which you could get him later on. You wouldn't need to use a first or a second, possibly, to get someone like him. So this is like, there's so many options, which makes it so intriguing. But for Joe Shane, this could be a, now I'm not going to say make or break, but this could be a real signature kind of draft for him, considering there's a lot of chatter at the top and they do have a top six pick.
There's a lot of pressure on this regime once Bill Belichick said that he would like to be the coach of the Giants.
Yeah, I know you want to get into that story.
I mean, once he said that, you know, if Bill Belichick mentioned your team, you know,
let's make it clear. He didn't say that. It's being suggested by people around him. So there's a story on ESPN.com right now that is really good reporting about how he did not get the job with the Atlanta Falcons, though a lot of people thought he was going to get it. Don Van Natta, Seth Wickersham, and Jeremy Fowler, some of our best football reporters that we have, did this whole story about that whole situation, but then broke down the other options. You know, they went Raheem Morris instead of him, and that's it. And so once that was out, because Tennessee wasn't going to happen, Vegas wasn't going to happen, they decided to keep Antonio Pierce, he was left without a job. And so people around him say there's three places that he would accept coaching, that he would like to coach. Dallas is one. His relationship with Jerry Jones. The Eagles are another one. That's very interesting. And then the Giants. And that's it. And so a friend is quoted as saying that the only way that he coaches again in the NFL, his friend thinks, is if it's for Jerry Jones. And that's basically it. He does want to coach again because we know he's 15 wins away from passing Don Shula for the all-time wins list. You know, we're talking about, what, a season and a half. He's not that far away. He could do it. The Eagles thing seems like a real possibility because he likes the structure. They have a good roster. And there's people in that organization. They draft well. But there's people in that organization that see him as somebody that he's still got. He didn't lose anything off his fastball. It's just the Patriots thing went the wrong way. The other part of this is he told the Falcons, he told Arthur Blank, I don't need to have full autonomy. You can, like, other people can run the personnel side. I just want to coach. But there were people in the organization that didn't believe it. They felt like he would have been too big of an influence, and that eventually it would have just led to him making all the decisions anyway, like he did in New England.
Yeah.
So they didn't want to deal with it.
Not afraid of his job.
You know, absolutely not.
So
you're right
about that. But a lot of GMs are intimidated that Bill can get him out of there, so they don't want to work with Bill.
Right. So you wanted to talk about this because of the Giants angle, right?
Yeah, because I think it's tremendous amount of pressure on them. The fact that, hey, if Bill's name is reported there, we always thought that, you know, we know what the affection that he has for the Giants organization. Daboll is one of his prodigal sons. But I still can see him saying, you know what, this is about what I want to do. And you know Mara and Tish probably have an affinity for him as well.
Mara,
you know,
does, for sure. And Tish loves names. Tish loves himself some brand names. So it does feel like if things don't look like they're trending in the right direction with the Giants, if you're looking at this organization at the end of the season and it's fumbling a little bit, that the draft didn't go as well as right now it has the potential to be a really good draft for the Giants, but it doesn't go that way. The quarterback situation remains a major question mark. Uncertainty there. Yeah, you know, the decision to let Saquon go move on was not the right one. If he goes to Philly and just balls out, right? And now you're left with you know, not enough skill in your offense, a reworked defense now. You know, do you look at it and think, let's bring in this guy and get us back on track? You know, I mean, what would it be akin to? I'm trying to think of a coach at that age and that experience coming into a place and getting it back on track.
Joe Gibbs.
You know, like, I mean, but he'd already been there before, right? They went back to him. You know, like Joe, I mean, somebody.
You're talking about an old coach that came in.
Like, great success. I mean, you know, Pat Riley was still young when he left the Lakers and went to the Knicks. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like he was old. Phil Jackson to the Lakers, I guess. Phil Jackson waited a year and then went to the Lakers, right?
You got John Fox.
Like, but Phil Jackson wasn't that old, but he'd already won 6 championships at that point.
Didn't John Fox do it with the Denver Broncos?
But I'm talking about,
left,
like,
when he
yeah.
left, and they made a bunch of noise with Jake the Snake.
Yeah, I like, you know, just thinking about it that way. It is not something that we've seen a lot of, but of the teams to do it now, you know, because, you know, Nick Sirianni can't possibly be on solid ground in Philadelphia right now, right?
He had to fire everybody, all his assistants. So
yeah,
he's on shaky ground.
So the Eagle thing is real. We know Mike McCarthy is on the last year of his deal. He and Dak Prescott. So that whole thing is definitely a house of cards, right?
See, yep.
And then, of course, I think the Giants one is probably the least likely. If you power rank the three, which would be the more likely scenario and the less likely scenario? My opinion is the more likely is Dallas, the less likely is going to be the Giants. You agree or disagree?
Listen, if Jaden Daniels comes and has one of those RG3 young phenom type of rookie seasons, and the Washington Commanders pass the Giants as far as in the standings and they look like they're going in a better direction, that's a lot of pressure, man, because we expect Dallas to have a better record. We expect Philly. But then if Washington comes out
– yeah.
With the weapons and all the things that they brought in, Austin Eckler, they already have Scary Terry. They already, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
They made a lot of transactions, and they got a lot of leaders. Bobby Wagner's there now.
Yep. Great pickup.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, Dan Quinn within the division. So, if that happens, you know, I'm looking like, hold up, we regression. We.
Yeah, we're going in the wrong way. Yeah, totally understand.
Now the Commanders' future is brighter than us because now they got a stud superstar quarterback.
If Dable's having issues on the sideline with other assists, you know what I mean? Like any of that stuff. Like you just like if any of that stuff. If the draft doesn't go well, if there's still, you know, question marks about Dable on the sideline, if like the franchise doesn't look like it's getting traction with this regime, would Mara and Tisch make that move before? And again, you think of it this way. Do it before a division rival does it. Because what do these three teams have in common? They're all in the NFC East.
Yep.
So the fact that they all could be in those situations, it's a matter of which owner decides, let's get them before the other guy does, and we're going to live to regret it. 800-919-3776. Bill Belichick used to hover over the Jets organization. Is he now suddenly hovering over the Giants organization? We'll get to your calls on the Giants and what they should be doing going forward and more. Also, Heat and the Sixers tonight for the chance to play the Knicks in the playoffs. I've asked this question yesterday. We're going to ask it again today. Who would you rather face? Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
So the second annual DiPietro and Rothenberg pregame party is coming up on Thursday, May 2nd. I say May 2nd. That's a long way away, isn't it? It's actually not. Isn't that crazy?
What, 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
What?
Like, May is 2 weeks. Nuts. Time keeps on flying by, and we just keep getting weather that doesn't feel like spring. Like, what the hell happened today after the last 2 days of beautiful weather? What happened? What is this we got today?
I mean, that's usually what it is, though, if you think about it.
No, it's no. Unacceptable. Unacceptable weather. Anyways, come out and see the guys in the live broadcast, which starts at 6 a.m. from Publicans in Manhasset. And it's just steps away from the Manhasset train station on the LIRR. After the show in the morning, then they'll take the train to Citi Field with you for a matinee game, Mets and the Cubbies.
Get your techno shot first.
Yeah. Masks optional. You can sit with Rick and Dave, not just at the pregame party, also on the train, and maybe even at the ballpark. How about that? So it's Thursday, May 2nd. It's brought to you by Montauk Brewing Company, Come As You Are, and by Zing Zang, Bart Scott. It's America's favorite Bloody Mary brand. And now it's even easier to enjoy a Bloody Mary with their pre-mixed cocktails available in convenient cans and party-sized bottles. Just open, pour, and enjoy. But Bart, please, Zing Zang responsibly. Okay.
Please responsibly.
Breaking news from earlier today, a couple of things we were talking about. If you saw the game last night, the Lakers and the Pelicans, Zion Williamson hurt his hamstring, left the game with 3 minutes to go. He had a magnificent game, 40-11. The Pelicans ended up losing because he left the game with the score tied, never returned, and Woj reporting that he will not play Friday in the eighth seed play-in game, which would be against the Kings. He's not available for that game, and he will be evaluated, in Woj's words, in the coming weeks. That's bad news for the Pelicans, bad news for Zion, and really bad news for the NBA, let's be honest. Bigger story, if there could be one, is this one. NBA sent out a memo just about 2 hours ago, at the start of the show. Jonte Porter, who was a G League player for the Toronto Raptors. He's Michael Porter Jr.'s brother. He has been banned for life from the NBA. And this has had to do with, after an investigation found that he violated the league rules by betting on NBA games and also disclosing his own information about his availability, injury, everything else to sports bettors. And there was one red flag that really caught their attention, and that was a game where on him, there was a prop on him, and somebody put $80,000 down on the prop bet. It would have won $1.1 million. It's that he had to underperform in the game. He checked out of the game claiming he was sick. And so the league found that to be a little fishy, looked into it and found all this other stuff with him as well. So he has been banned from the NBA. And that is a significant story at a time where professional sports leagues are partnering with a lot of online betting companies.
Right.
And so, you know, it's getting more and more concerning about how much of an impact this is going to have. Players are not allowed to bet on their own sport. And so he did this.
He had a list.
Yeah, I could go through it if you want. If you want me to repeat it, this is 2 hours ago when I said it last. But so the investigation found that prior to a March 20th game, when Porter was on a two-way contract. So he was mostly in the G League, but the Raptors would call him up to be in a game. So March 20th, he disclosed confidential information about his own health status to an individual that he knew to be an NBA bettor, another individual with whom Porter associated and knew to be also an NBA bettor, subsequently placed an $80,000 parlay proposition bet with an online sports book to win $1.1 million, wagering that Porter would underperform in that March 20th game.
Yeah, maybe they should have spread that out a little bit.
You know what I mean? So in that game, Porter played just 3 minutes, claiming he felt ill.
Well, I wonder, what was the prop bet? Like, was it like
his scoring. I would think like 0 to 3 points or something like that. In the March 20th game, he played only 3 minutes. So due to the unusual betting activity and the actions of the player, that proposition bet was frozen and that $1.1 million was not paid out. So it never worked out.
I want my money, man. I don't care if he threw his career away. It ain't got nothing to do with my bet.
Crazy. He also, the league found, placed at least 13 bets on NBA games using someone else's account. And the bets ranged in size from $15 to $22,000. Total of the bets was $54,000. The payout was $76,000, so the net winnings for him was just almost $22,000. So it's not like he, you know, I know G League players don't make a ton of money, but was it worth it? I mean, $22,000?
He was going for it. He was going for it. I bet you if the old boy won $1.2 million, he probably wanted half of that.
So none of the bets that he made involved the game that he played in, but three of the bets were multi-game parlay bets that included a Raptors game, in which Porter bet that the Raptors would lose. This is a member of the Raptors betting that the Raptors would lose. He didn't play in the game, so he couldn't have had an impact on losing, but still. And well, by the way, this shows you just how bad he was at this. The three bets that he picked the Raptors to lose, all three of those bets he was wrong.
You big dummy.
Tell me this: who's worse, better, him or Otani's boy?
Oh my God! Right. But between these two stories, it is not surprising that the NBA acted the way they did and just banned him. That's it. You're done.
Yeah,
and imagine this too. Now I know your brother is a big star with a big contract, right, Michael Porter Jr. But this is your opportunity to make it as an NBA player, and you're given an opportunity to play in an NBA game, which is an incredible privilege. And you decide, for a bet, I'm going to fake an illness and leave the game. Imagine that. Just saying like, yeah, I'm just going to fake an illness. I won't play. Like any other player that is scratching and clawing his way through the G League just for an opportunity to get 1 minute in one game at the NBA level. It asks a lot of questions. This is a serious character flaw, right? Serious character flaw. Like, there's some kind of issue here.
I wonder what
some people say it's an addiction, plays in this thing as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder what drew him in. Yeah.
But a terrible story, but one that the NBA had to answer and had to handle. Did they handle it right, in your opinion?
Yeah. Sevy just handled it the sixth inning. You know what I'm saying? I was telling you that.
So you're so locked in.
I tell you what though, I think you had to. You had to set a precedent. What better person to make an example out of than somebody that can't hurt your league
because
he's not a good player. Like, nobody's gonna miss this guy out of the league. So
that's
come
true.
Down strong and make everybody else quiver in their heels, in their boots, so to speak. Like, oh man, like lifetime bans. And then he didn't even get warning, he didn't get suspension, half a year, nothing. Mm-hmm. They gave him a lifetime.
Yeah. No, it's true, but like I said, it is something that is
It has to be because it's directly with his game. If he was gambling on other stuff, nobody would have cared.
No. Again, on the NFL, whatever. No big deal, right? Like, it doesn't matter. On baseball, fine. You know, but on your own team, on yourself, or worse, it's telling someone, hey, put the money down on this. I'm going to make sure that hits.
Yeah.
Watch me control it.
It's one thing to tell somebody who injured, like, yo, is old boy hurt? Yeah, man, I don't think he's going to play, man. He banged up.
Yeah, that's not right.
Hey, man, what's the color of the Gatorade, man? It's great.
You know what I mean? That I'm sure is like something that it's not right, but that's one of those like your boy asks you something. Hey, yo, is so and so playing tonight? No.
Nah,
all right, now I'm betting against you guys tonight. All right, well, whatever. That's like it's wrong, but whatever. But you're taking yourself out of a game, faking that you're sick, so somebody can win a parlay?
Hey, what did he say? He said he had a stomach bug or something, and they catch him at the club later.
I don't know.
Shake that booty, rock that booty, doodle brown.
Yo, I thought you were sick. Oh, I got better.
It was a one-quarter flu.
I took some sea moss and some zinc, and I'm feeling a lot better now.
Oh, man.
Nah, it's just the way it goes. Look, this type of stuff is meant for the fans. This is meant for the people. This is not meant for you, unfortunately. That's just how this goes. 800-919-3776. Something that happened with the Pelicans and Zion is something that the Sixers have to be hoping they don't see happen to them tonight. But it could. Why you should watch Sixers Heat very closely tonight, because that could have a major impact on what the Knicks can do in the playoffs going forward. Big game tonight for you Knicks fans to watch. We'll get into that coming up next. The NBA play-in tournament, as we're talking about right now, that's one of the games tonight, gives teams the chance to play their way into the postseason. Only seems right that new customers on FanDuel can play their way into $150. Just place any $5 bet and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. Tonight, you've got the Sixers and the Heat, of course. You've got the Hawks and the Bulls. The Bulls have been playing great defense. They have been really good down the stretch, and that is a game to watch defensively. Any of the defensive numbers, keep an eye on them. It could be over-under. First basket scorer, would it be Trae Young? He is back in the lineup for the Hawks. Just go to FanDuel.com/Allen to get started. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 and older, physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
So Bart, the news about Zion, it's obviously depressing news in New Orleans because you've already got the Brandon Ingram injury, right? So if you're the Kings, you got to feel like, all right, we got the eighth seed. We're going to play OKC. And that's going to be an interesting series. Now, that's no given for OKC now. They're the number one seed. They're really good. But the Kings aren't really like a typical 10th seed. They were, what were they, the 3 seed last year, the 2 seed last year? So that's all of a sudden going to be a real interesting series, right? And the same goes in the East when it comes to the 1 and 2 seeds, you're playing either the Heat or the Sixers potentially. Those aren't easy first rounds. Usually your top seed, you're going to play as some cupcake that you're going to run over in the first round. That's not necessarily the case in either of these situations. Then you got LeBron and the Lakers. Yes, Denver has dominated the Lakers, but that 2-7 matchup for Denver, that's not easy out of the gate. Then you got to deal with Anthony Davis and LeBron and a team that went to the Western Conference Finals last year. So The first round of the playoffs should be very competitive and certainly very interesting. But the injury to Zion, if you're in Philadelphia, think about it. Milwaukee, one thing happens to Giannis in a freak moment in game 81, and all of a sudden you feel like your season is done. This happens to Zion. And now the Pelicans can feel like, oh, my God, like they have no chance, right? The same thing tonight. If you watch the Sixers and the Heat, if you see Joel Embiid land funny and that knee tweaks again, which was the last game he played in, that happened. Yes, he returned, but still, if that knee continues to give him a problem, that's got to have a major impact on how far you think the Sixers can go and how tough of an opponent they can be in the first round. I'm watching this game on several levels, but I might be like zoomed in on Embiid. I might go ISO cam on Embiid in this game just to see how he's moving and how much he might be favoring that knee.
I'm with you. Man, do you see what's happening? No, never mind.
What is happening where?
We just put up a five spot.
Who's we?
Mets.
Really?
It was a one-game lead. It was two on. Bader just hit a home run right mm-hmm. after we just hit two in. Mm-hmm. And the Pirates are good this year, too.
Yeah, they are better. Yeah,
we feeling good, man. So Sevy might get a win, B.
Go over 500, too, for the Mets, which would be, after an 0-5 start, rock bottom, as I heard someone once say.
Yeah, man.
Right? No one in the crowd.
You see that Soto? You know what I'm saying? All we do is win over there, baby. Come out at your boy.
I see how engaged you are. Well, I'll be watching Sixers and Heat tonight.
No, I definitely want to see the best case scenario.
Go.
Joel Embiid
gets K-Show
hurt.
Next. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.